As I said in the beginning, today we are celebrating the feast of the Epiphany. Immediately following the 12 days of Christmas in the traditional Christian calendar and typically commemorating the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus. And of course the feast was yesterday, but we are celebrating it today as the lectionary allows us to celebrate it between 2nd January to 8th of January, any Sunday in between. It marks the beginning of a season that takes us all the way to Candlemas, the 2nd February, the presentation of Christ in the temple. The Book of Common Prayer refers to the Feast of the Epiphany as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. And the Greek word Epiphany means to be made manifest or revealing, as David was saying, something intense that you never forget, something showing forth that is for the rest of your life. So the essence of today's feast is the revelation of Christ to the whole world. So today we celebrate God showing up in our midst in the person of Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading today invites us to ponder one more account surrounding the birth of Jesus, the visit of the far-traveled Magi, the wise men, to worship the baby Jesus, not in the manger, as we see depicted on Christmas cards, our nativity scenes, but in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. And some of the scholars tell us that when the Magi visited to baby Jesus, it could be after a year or so. So they were in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. As we all know, the wise men were led by a star. Therefore, the season of Epiphany is a season of light. The light of a star pointed their way to the long-awaited Messiah. And the scriptures for this season feature some of the ways that the light which has come into the world is revealed to us. The Eucharistic preface for this season sums up our joy at this time. It says, "And now we give you thanks because in the incarnation of the Word, a new light has dawned upon the world, that all the nations may be brought out of darkness to see the radiance of your glory," which is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. The last few years have been rough in many ways. First, the pandemic, then the war between Russia and Ukraine, then Israel and Hamas, and most recently, right here in the city of Prague, we have witnessed terrible shootings. These tragic events affect all of us in one way or the other. We don't remain untouched by the global events. Or it could have been sickness, job difficulties with our colleagues, the workplace with our boss, family problems, emotional struggles, or something like that because of what's happening around us. I'm sure that we could all say that there were a few good days in the past years, and there were many trying and testing days. But a new year always brings a sense of hope, doesn't it? A new year brings new opportunities, new ideas, new gatherings, and we want to do something new. And we make New Year's resolutions. We make promises.
promises that we want to do something this year. The previous years, with all its tragedies, problems, disappointments, failures, and sadness, are now behind us. And a brand new year lies ahead of us. Epiphany reminds us that life continues on. The epiphany, with its emphasis on the light shining in the darkness, reminds us that life continues. In today's gospel, God reaches beyond the poor shepherds at the bottom of the barrel to the wise ones at the top. So we celebrate God's showing up in our midst in the person of Jesus Christ. And because the wise men were Gentiles rather than Jews, this day announces that Christ is for everyone, not just for the people of Israel. Of all the characters in the Christmas story, the wise men are the most enigmatic. They are most mysterious. We know very little about them. They appear out of nowhere from an unnamed country. How many were there? We don't know. And there is no reason to think there were only three of them, even though only three gifts are mentioned. They seem to just show up mysteriously, and just as mysteriously they are gone. We don't know if they were philosophers, astronomers, or astrologers, or all three. Nobody knows their names. Little tradition fixed their number at three, made them kings, and recall their resonant names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But nobody knows their names and how many of them. All we know is they came from the East. They were wise men from the East. Now those words, wise men, are one word in Greek, magoi. That's where we get our term magi. And that's where we get our terms magic and magistrate. And they are connected to these magi. If you read the book of Daniel, Matthew's account speaks simply of wise men from the East, perhaps from Persia or Babylon, present day Iran and Iraq. The book of Daniel gives us a clue that they were probably pagan priests who had knowledge of astrology and of astronomy, and who could read the position of the stars. These magi were perhaps kingsmakers who had high ranks in Persian and Babylonian empires. If they were from Persia or from Babylon, the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem by normal trade route, which they would have taken, is a distance of more than 800 miles. And I don't know how fast you can go on a camel, but let's say 20 miles a day. That would take you at least 40 days. It wasn't simply casual speculation, just ordinary or fun. It was a really sincere investigation. They were deadly serious. There is so much to learn from these wise men. These magi from the East are inquisitive, adventurous, and obedient to their calling. A sincere, serious soul is concerned to follow where the evidence leads. The Bible gives us evidence about Jesus Christ, who He is. This reminds me of one of C.S. Lewis's most famous poems. Jesus was either mad, bad, or God. These individuals were deadly serious. How about us? We are at the start of the year. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with half-heartedly. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with casuality or casually. But it says, when you seek me with all your heart. Those learned travelers, guided by the star, came first to Jerusalem, the royal city, and the obvious place to look for a newborn Jewish king. But instructed by the scriptures, they were directed further on to Bethlehem. It's very important to note that they discovered that they needed the scriptures to point them in the right direction. There is no way to God except through the Christ of God, who is given to us in the Word of God, the Bible. A star, a scripture, a savior. There is a progression here. When they found Jesus, Matthew doesn't say that the Magi studied him, debated about him, and postponed deciding what to do about him to a more convenient time. The Bible says they fell down and worshipped him. They are the first Gentiles not only to see Christ, but also to fall down and worship him. The word homage in the Greek language is specifically used only when the deity is worshipped. For the word which is, they worship him. Especially the word worship is only when they worship the divine. So that's the only rational response. If Jesus is who God says he is, our Savior and as our Lord and King, then we owe our unconditional allegiance to him and to his commands. Our proper position is on our knees before him. What was true 2,000 years ago is still true today. Wise men and women still seek him. And when they find him, they worship him. Let's know, first of all, that they give Jesus the very best. Too often, what we offer to God is leftovers. But these wise people give him their very best. And so should we. They opened their treasures, not for them, a little bit of money that was left over after they had spent it on themselves. For them, the most precious, most valuable possession. In other words, a gift is valued to Christ only in terms of what it costs the giver, not in terms of what it will buy. So how can we worship him? What can I do to please God? What should I bring before him? More generally, we may think of the gold of obedience, the incense of worship, and the myrrh of trust, which we all have and can offer to Jesus, our King, Lord, and Savior. How I wish that in 2024, this should be our prime motive to worship the Lord. This should be our prime motive. This should be our main resolution to worship him. The gift God treasures most, the gift of adoration, the gift of the humble obedience of mind and heart. We just sang a beautiful hymn. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. With gold of obedience and incense of loneliness, kneel and adore him. The Lord is his name. The Lord. He is the source of all happiness. He is the source of all peace and joy. In today's epistle, St. Paul writes about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The wise men brought their expensive gifts, their treasures, but they recognize Jesus as the most valuable thing in the world. He's the pearl of great price. They saw and knew and honored and worshipped Jesus, their King, Lord, and Savior. In the end, it's not so much about what they offered Jesus, but what they knew that Jesus offered to them and the whole world. The salvation and the kingdom of God. They arrived at Bethlehem with the treasures of the earth in their hands, but they left Bethlehem with the treasures of heaven in their hearts. The first thing wise men and women know is that they don't know it all. If we say we know it all, we deceive ourselves. And so they ask and seek and knock. The next thing wise men and women do is to turn to the scriptures, the Bible, to what has been written for our learning, to make us wise unto salvation. And finally, wise men and women fall down in worship. If we do this with the wise men from our story, then like them, we may go back home. But also like them, we will be changed, traveling another way, transformed by our encounter with Jesus. They set out from there on another road, a new road, a different road than the one from one on which they had been traveling. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what he has done on the cross of Calvary. We bow down before you and worship you. May who dwell in our hearts and voices. And may that sunrise, the light of Christ, shine brightly on each of us. As we journey on the new road, we will be traveling on in this new year. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.